right? Well, if you are joining us for the first time, you're finding us almost at the tail end of a series titled Destined to Overcome. We've been going through this series for the past 5 weeks, Destined to Overcome. And the reason why we are saying destined to overcome is that your victory is not about you. It's about what Jesus did for you on the cross. What's there for you is to rightly appropriate that victory. I want you to know that healing is there on the cross. Healing was acquired for you. What's needed is for me to rightly appropriate that healing over my life. Favor was taken up, was acquired for you on the cross. What's left is for you to rightly receive that favor. Hallelujah. Now, there has to be a difference when I was preaching to chairs only and when I've got a few warm bodies. Hell, okay? Okay, I'm just saying. Praise the Lord. So talking about destined to overcome, let me visit the first teaching that I did about destined to overcome. What does it mean to overcome? What does it mean to overcome? Now, when you're talking about overcoming, you're speaking about conquering, defeating, okay? Overthrowing, subduing something. So when you're overcoming, when you prevail, it means to succeed in dealing with a problem. Hello, somebody? When we're talking about overcoming, we're saying you've been successful in dealing with a problem. Yeah. Secondly, you've successfully gained control of a difficult situation. You have successfully gained control over a difficult situation. Okay? That is what we mean by overcoming. Thirdly, when we say you're overcoming, you get the better of somebody in competition. You are getting the better of a competitor. It means you've got an edge. It means you've got an added advantage. Hello, somebody. Now, I want you to realize that this is your destiny. Your destiny is to prevail. Your destiny is to overcome. Now, this morning, I want to continue from where we left off last week. We started talking about 9 habits of an overcomer. Okay, 9 habits of an overcomer. Last week we looked at the first 3 and we said the first habit that you find in the life of an overcomer is an overcomer walks by faith. Okay, you walk by faith, you don't walk by sight, you don't walk by feelings, you don't walk by emotions. Otherwise, you're not an overcomer. Secondly, we said an overcomer voluntarily submits to God. Every overcomer is submitted to authority. When you submit to authority, you become a recipient of delegated authority. When you're submitting yourself to the power that is in Jesus, that power comes down to you. In other words, the degree to which I am submitted to God determines the degree to which I have access to the authority. The Bible says, submit yourself therefore to God, and resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. The more I'm submitted, the more the enemy can pay attention when I speak. The more I carry authority, the more I'm able to exercise that authority. Glory be to God. Thirdly, we said, an overcomer consistently renews his or her mind. I want you to know that we experience leakages in our system. You find that the way we think, the way we view our world gets influenced by the worldly system. You and I need to constantly renew and reprogram our minds in order to have the right way of thinking. So what is the point here? The point here, I'm trying to teach you the technology of walking in victory. So when you say you are destined to overcome, there are certain things you need to do. Do you know that there are things that God cannot do for you? You have to do them. You can pray, you can shout, you can speak in tongues, but if you don't rise up and do something, if you don't rise up and go and take your driver's license test, you're not going to have a driver's license. Come on now. You can pray and fast about your exams. If you don't wake up and study, you're not going to make it. Because God is not going to break certain principles in order to answer your prayers. There are principles that govern the kingdom of God. So you study, you do what you have to do. Do what every student has to do, then you pray. You know what will happen? You walk into exam room, there's no confusion. You walk into the exam room, you've got a clear mind. Somebody else is under the influence of demonic forces. They might have started the same way you started, but they've got issues. They'll tell you, I looked at that paper and I was confused. Hello? Remember, there's a scripture that says, a horse might be ready for war, but victory comes from the Lord. But the horse has to be ready for war. Very, very important. Now, this morning, I want to take you through another three habits of an overcomer. Habit number four. An overcomer maintains a healthy view of self. Remember, we're saying we are camping in Romans chapter 12. An overcomer maintains a healthy view of self. I want you to realize that there's nothing that can sabotage your life as much as a distorted view of self does. You can have everything, you can make every effort, but wherever you go, self is there with you. Okay? You walk into a business environment, self is there with you. You walk into a relationship, self is there with you. So if you have a distorted view of yourself, you find yourself that self will continue sabotaging your efforts. That is why you and I need to have a correct view of ourselves. What am I saying? The way you see yourselves determines how you react and you respond to external stimuli. The way you view yourself determines how you respond when somebody shouts at you. When somebody calls you a name. When somebody pulls the rug off your feet. The way you see yourself determines how you respond. If you are a boss at work and somebody says something out of tune, if you're not secure as a leader, you're bound to react in a very negative way. Because you think, they're challenging my authority. Don't they know who I am? If you're a father at home, your child says something. Instead of kindly correcting the child, you lose your cool. Because you feel my authority has been challenged. Do you know, I'm just talking about having the right view of yourself. When you go to John chapter 13, the story of Jesus Christ, when he was preparing his disciples for his crucifixion. When they were having the Last Supper where he actually took off his gown and he went on his feet and he started wiping their feet. Before that event, the Bible says, Jesus, knowing who he was, knowing the authority that was upon him, he knelt down and he cleansed their feet. Jesus was very secure in who he was. He knew that he was the Son of the living God and did not have to prove a point to anybody. When you have a healthy view of self, your victory is imminent. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Okay. Remember, we're saying here, Romans chapter 12 was written by Paul, telling them that in view of the message of God, in view of the finished works of Calvary, you need to do certain things. You need to put in place an environment that is conducive for you to walk in victory. Now he says here, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. He says then, but set your mind to be right-minded, even as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, Paul is warning the church in Rome, and he's saying, you've got to be careful. You've got to ensure that you think right about yourself. I want you to just go back in your life. How many times have you looked at yourself and you undermined yourself? You undermined your potential. You undermined your abilities. You're understating what you can do because you think it's being humble. Many Christians, what we call humility is not really humility. A humble person has got a right view of themselves. They agree with what God says about them. When God says you are the head and not the tail, you then say, I am the head and not the tail. Not in a pompous way, but in a humble way that acknowledges what God is doing inside of you. Now, Paul says here, set your mind to be right-minded. What that means is that it is possible to be wrong-minded about yourself. When you talk to people who've got a chip on the shoulder, you're not able to contribute in their lives. Why? Because they know it all. They know it all. I remember I had an interview. I interviewed somebody for something that I'm trying to do. You look at somebody's CV. You're like, wow, this CV is really great. It's glamorous. This CV is packed. This person must be a senior where he's coming from. Then you dip the litmus test. You realize it's not what it is. This person has been inflating his experience, his abilities, and his skill. You start questioning the person, you realize there's nothing. I'm talking about being right-minded about who we are. That sets you up for victory. You see, with every gift, there is a grace attached to every gift. There is an ability attached to every gift. Now, the context of verse 3 is in the context of the charismatic gifts that Paul goes into. And he started talking about the gift of leadership, the gift of serving, the gift of hospitality, and every other gift. And he says, you've got to live your life in line with your level of gift. Put this down. Overcomers embrace and elect to operate within their area of gifting. If you are to overcome, you've got to embrace your gift. You've got to choose to walk in that gift. What this means is that you will experience victory in your life when you gladly operate in what God has called you to do. Okay? The extent of your victory largely depends on whether you're operating in your area of gifting or not. You see, some gifts are very glamorous. Worship leading, you're always on the front, or teaching the word. It's not as glamorous as being an intercessor, where you wake up in the middle of the night and you pray. Nobody sees you. Nobody hears you. Stuff happens on a Sunday morning, not so much because of what the worship leader has done, but because of what Brother X was doing last night, where he was travailing in the presence of God, crying out for the glory to manifest on a Sunday morning. That is where the Bible says, in the same way certain body parts are not glamorous on the outside, yet they are protected because they are valuable. Think about your heart. Think about your chest cavity, how it protects the lung and heart and all of that stuff. The same thing happens with the gifting that God has given us. If you are to be victorious in your life, you've got to be content with what God has given you. You need to lean on the grace that God has given you. If you're a teacher of the word, do the teaching. Let business people be business people. Let those who've been called in the corporate world climb the corporate ladder, because that is where God has called them. Politicians, be the best politician you're meant to be. If you're a mother, God has called you to look after children. I know mothers who forsook corporate life, and they're saying, you know, my heart is for my kids. I just want to be home with my kids. I want to ensure that when they come home from school, there is somebody at home. Let the Lord bless mothers like that, or fathers like that. When you talk like that, some people think, man, you're losing a big portion of your life. You should be making lots of money. But do you know the amount of money you're making when you look after your child? When you deposit treasures into your children, you're depositing into a destiny, into a future. We need to have a value realignment around certain things. Sometimes you need to downgrade your life to end up living with on one salary, because you're saying our children's lives are more important. Can you imagine our children? Some of them are being raised by nannies every single day. They end up knowing what nanny wants more than what mama wants. There are pros and cons. May the Lord give us the wisdom. I don't know why I went on that rabbit trail. But for us to see things aright. Put this down. Snares are very close to the one who has a tendency of overestimating his ability. Traps are very close. When you have the tendency of overstating your qualifications, you've got one degree, but you're like, I'm busy working on the third one right now, but there's no degree going on back at the ranch. Come on now. Well, our church is so big, now we're hitting 200 people. You come into church, there are 20 people. Come on now, take it easy. Be truthful about your capacity, about where you are. The Bible tells us that do not overlook humble beginnings. There is power in that. When you look at a little child, you don't neglect the child because she cannot take care of herself. You look after the child because you're saying, in this child, there might be a prophetess. In this child, there might be the next Cyril Ramaphosa of this nation. So you look after a child not because you see what they're supposed to be right now. You walk by faith. Glory be to God. What am I saying? An inflated view of yourself stops the power of God from working through you. An inflated view of myself stops the power of God from working through me. When I come here and I want to be that top prophet person who just sees people, their numbers, their cell phone numbers, and when they were born, I can call out their names. I end up cheating the system in order to prove a point that I'm an accurate prophet. Come on now. When we want to live like that, traps are very close to us. We end up going onto people's Facebook pages. We see their lives. They walk into church and like, this is what I see in your life. I see you're about to start a business. You saw his proposal on Facebook, brother. It's not prophecy. It's manipulation. 1 Peter 4, verse 11. If anyone speaks, he should speak as one conveying the words of God. If anyone serves, he should serve with the strength God provides. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. Let's work within the confines of our grace. Why? So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. You see, when we live our lives beyond our grace, God cannot receive glory because it's not his doing. It's your doing. It's my doing. But when we come before God in fear and trembling and say, Lord, I don't know how this Sunday is going to go. If you don't help me, I won't be able to teach. His power comes and his name is glorified. Hallelujah. Let's stick to our grace. Habit number five. An overcomer has a genuine love for people. The Lord really spoke to me when I was looking at this. An overcomer has a genuine love for people. Oh, how we need this in the church today. How much we need believers who are walking with genuine love. Believers who say, I will stand in the gap for my brothers. Believers who say, I will go and visit and make sure that they are well. I want you to know it is difficult to keep a person of love down on the ground. A person who operates in love is difficult to beat. It doesn't matter how much you try, that person keeps us coming back because they are walking with God. God is love. Hello, somebody. It is impossible to put down a person who is genuinely driven by love, by compassion, and by mercy. They will never retaliate, but they will give back love. Romans 12, verse 9. Paul says, let love be without hypocrisy. Let love be without hypocrisy. Shrinking from evil to good. Equally love to one another. Loving fervently. Having led one another in honor. Verse 13. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Pursuing hospitality. Verse 15. Rejoice with the rejoicing ones. With the weeping ones. You see, love without hypocrisy has the tenacity to last any evil intention. When you walk by love, you can have a horrible boss at work. You'll be able to continue working there. Okay? And it is a matter of time before something shifts in the heart of your boss, in the heart of your neighbor. A person of love to what is good. I want to read that in the NIV. The NIV says, love must be sincere. How sincere are we in loving one another? Having good desire, wishing it well for somebody. Are we genuine in that? Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. To what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lurking in zeal. But keep your spiritual favor. The Lord. Serve the Lord. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. So in other words, in the middle of wickedness, an overcomer holds on to the higher form of life, which is love. That is how you overcome your enemies. The Bible says here, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. If you want to be an overcomer in life, you need to carry the heart of Jesus. And the heart of Jesus is a heart of love. Now, that scripture where we've just read, it is so packed on how one should live by love. Look at this. A person with the habit of loving people does a number of things. Number one, he never plays the role of an actor by wearing a mask. A person who walks by love does not wear a mask. You know what a mask does? The mask hides the emotion. But the mask hides the real person. The mask causes you to do things behind where nobody can see what exactly is going on. You see, with these masks these days, you go into a boardroom. It is so heated. It is so heated. But you can't really see the emotion. You just see eyes. The emotions are hidden behind there. And I don't like it that way. But sometimes I like it because my emotions are not being revealed. But this is the point here. A person who walks by love does not put on a mask. What you see is what you get. Oh, how much we need that in the body of Christ. Where we make commitments and we are there. We are present. Where we say we will do this, we will do it. Amen. A person of love has good thoughts about every situation. You can go to 1 Corinthians 13 from verse 4 downwards. It talks about love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not keep the record of the wrong things. Love is patient. Love is long-suffering. That is what love is. The Bible says if anyone says he loves God and yet he does not love the one he sees, that person is deceived. When you walk by love, you will be an overcomer. A person of love is devoted to loving people unconditionally. I'm talking about love without a hook. Why are you prepared to come and pick my child to go to school? Are you expecting something back? This is the thing. A lot of the times what we call love are just business deals. They're transactions. You transact, you give something somebody for their birthday. You're expecting that they'll give you something on your birthday. Alas, nothing comes. What happens in your heart? You're like, maybe she was not happy with the gift I gave her on your birthday. So you gave so that on your birthday, you get something in return. That is why the Bible tells us, you know what? Do something to someone that you know they're not able to do it back to you. That is what love is. You look at somebody and you know very well what I'm going to do for Hilton. He can never do it to me. And you do it knowing that he's not able to do it. All right. We're talking about love, right? So when you're walking by love, that's a litmus test for you. As a child of God, the things that you're doing for people, are you expecting them to do the same to you? You know what? As a pastor, I've realized that being a pastor is one of those most thankless jobs, okay? You do stuff, right? You don't expect, but there's a level of expectation that a pastor does have. Did you know that? Okay? But as a pastor, you realize you do things for the glory of God. Whether somebody comes back and they say thank you or not, you know that there is a crown waiting for you. Same thing applies to you. When you're serving God in the house of God, many people say, you know what, these guys are so ungrateful. Not once have they said thank you. It's okay. People need to say thank you. But if they don't, let's keep on serving. Because we're doing it for the honor of one, for the audience of one. Glory be to God. A person who walks by love honors people by the way he treats and thinks about them. You put weight on your friend. You put weight on what God is doing. You put weight on the word of God. You put weight even on people that don't have something to offer. That is an honor. People of love give generously, both in kind and in words. We've got to be generous with words. Do you know that words do not cost us anything? To tell somebody that, you know what, you're an amazing person. When you come in this place, you just make us feel precious. When you're generous with your words, you are ministering to people. You're speaking life to them. When somebody looks great, do the right thing. Tell the person, you look great. I like your hairdo. You never know what that thing is doing to that person. When they go back home, there's a smile on their face. Their heart is feeling light just because of your words. Does somebody hear me this morning? Very, very important. A person of love shows high levels of empathy. A person of love shows high levels of empathy. Remember where Paul says, cry with those who are crying. He says here, you need to rejoice with those who rejoice. Glory be to God. Now let's look at a number of scriptures. Romans 12 verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Proverbs 15 verse 1. A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. Do you know why tempers flare? It's because one after the other, harsh words are being thrown to one another. Think about husband and wife. What started off as a small thing in the bedroom explodes into something so big because harsh words are being used. All right? I'm not going to read the rest of those. Let's do the last habit. The last habit. An overcomer is spiritually disciplined. An overcomer has got discipline. An overcomer understands what it means to subject his or her body to some level of control. That's what an overcomer does. Discipline is not obedience to someone's standards. That is what we think sometimes, like, I'm disciplining my child. You think you're disciplining your child, you know? But I want you to realize that discipline is learning and applying an intentional standard, all right, to achieve a meaningful objective. That is what discipline is. It is when you apply some standards in your life in order to achieve something that is worthwhile. It is when you forego current pleasures in order to obtain long-term pleasures. That's what discipline is. It's when you say to yourself, I'm not going to sleep. I have to do this. I have to finish my studies. Right? Now, do you know that you can become spiritually lazy? Yeah. Uh-huh. And I want you to know that laziness is not natural. Laziness is a spirit. Yeah. It's a spirit. You can become lazy. You become lethargic in your body, but you can become lethargic in your spirit. Where you used to pray 15 minutes, because you just feel like, I'm tired, you know, I'm tired. 10 to 5 minutes. Like, I'm tired, I'll pray in the car when I go to work. Instead of praying, you listen to SAFM. That day, no prayer. Dololo, nothing. You know, spiritually laziness affects a lot of believers. When we lack spiritual disciplines, the reading of the Bible becomes a challenge. But we find it easy to go page after page on Facebook, checking what's happening, what is going on in people's lives. What am I saying this morning? In the same way that some people are spiritual lazy, some people are highly disciplined in their spirit. And I believe today I'm talking to a people who are spiritually disciplined. A people who are saying, the fact that I cannot go throughout the day without eating a meal. How can I go throughout the day without eating spiritually? Let's think about it that way. Physically, when we are fasting, we subject our bodies. We have to be highly disciplined to fast throughout the day. But you can't sustain it day after day after day after day. At some point, your body will give in. Do you know that if you don't eat healthy physically, your body becomes susceptible to diseases and all sorts of viral attacks? Because you are not eating healthy physically. I want you to take that picture into the spirit. If you don't feed your spirit man with healthy stuff, many people are feeding spiritually, but they're feeding themselves with unhealthy products. Hello, somebody. You can have a skewed biblical view around something. It doesn't mean you're doing right in your spirit. Your spirit man is vulnerable to demonic attacks. You need to pay attention to what you feed your spirit man in order to ensure that you are strong. Your spirit man is well and alive. Glory be to God. What are we feeding ourselves spiritually? There are certain teachings we should not be listening to. Why? They weaken our faith, resulting in shipwrecking our faith. There are certain preachers we should not be listening to. Why? Because their doctrines are skewed. Hello, somebody. Somebody says, practice makes perfect. But if you practice in a wrong way, you will destroy your body. Perfect practice makes perfect. Our athlete in the house will tell you, the way you train will determine how well you'll do when the race comes. You could be putting in the hours, training day after day, day after day. But if you're doing it in the wrong way, you find that certain muscles are not even developing. Though you are sweating every time in the gym, you're doing it wrongly. Spiritually, we've got to ask ourselves. The Bible says to us, test every spirit. Test every prophetic word, whether it is from the Lord or not. So let's not be gullible and say, oh, I've been under the word. What word? Remember, the Lord would say, on that day, some of you will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, we taught in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We healed the sick in your name. And I'll say to them, you evildoers, I do not know you. Were they not doing it in the name of the Lord? They were, but misdirected. What is the point? Romans 12, verse 11. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion toward Him boiling hot. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit, and let Him fill you with excitement as you serve Him. Verse 12, let this hope burst forth within you, releasing a continual joy. Don't give up in a time of trouble, but commune with God at all times. Commune with the Lord at all times. So often the devil has deceived us to think there are certain dimensions in the spirit that we cannot achieve. It's only meant for certain people. We think that we cannot achieve the revelation that is from the Lord. It's for certain people. We cannot experience prophetic dreams. It's for certain people. We can't hear the voice of the Lord. It's for certain people. But I want you to know this morning that when you are disciplined in the things of the Spirit, it opens up a dimension that you can never imagine. Glory be to God. When you are spiritually disciplined, this Bible, you don't need any other prophecy. This is the prophetic word we have. Anything else that comes, it's a bonus. There is no prophetic word that trumps the written word of God. Are you looking for somebody to say something to you? Go into the word. Jeremiah 29 tells you, I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. Thoughts of good and not of bad. To give you a hope and a future. After reading that, I can put it down and say, the Lord spoke to me. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord spoke to me. My future is bright. The reason why we search for all these prophets is because we don't understand that back then he used to speak through prophets, but now he's speaking through his son, through his word. I believe in the prophetic ministry. I believe in the apostolic ministry. But I say none of those trump the written word of God. When we are so disciplined to go into the word and say, Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. Teach me right now. He will reveal to you the mysteries that are hidden in God. The Bible tells us, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what is that God has stored up for those who believe in him, for his children. Then he says, but these things have been revealed to us by his Spirit. These things have been made to our disposal by the Spirit of God. Briefly, as we run down from that scripture, you can see the disciplines that an overcomer goes through. Number one, an overcomer serves with enthusiasm. Do you serve God with enthusiasm? Colossians 3:23, put your heart and soul into every activity you do as though you are doing it for the Lord and not merely for others. For we know that we will receive a reward, an inheritance from the Lord as we serve the Lord Yahweh, the Anointed One. It's a discipline. Are you serving the Lord? When you serve the Lord, you become a core beneficiary of the kingdom, of what God has in store for his people. You can never outgive God. The time you give to God, he will give it back to you. Multiplied. When you spend time serving God, you find that you go back home, you've got so much work. It has happened to me. I've spent so much time doing things for God. I go back into my office, there is a quickening of the Spirit of God. And I find myself going through stuff. I'm like, wow, I'm done. What happened? He knows how to meet your needs. When you meet his needs in his house, he will meet your own needs. You can never outgive God. Secondly, We have a sustained passion for God. Sustained. It's ongoing. Day by day, we are passionate about God. Glory be to God. Thirdly, we maintain fellowship with the Holy Spirit, your greatest teacher, your greatest ally. When you walk with the Holy Spirit, you have the greatest advantage because he knows what is about to happen. The Bible says he will take of the future and he will show it to you. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he shall lead you into all truth. When he, the Spirit of comfort, comes, he will comfort you. Glory be to God. Amen. Lastly, an overcomer has a habit of praying, persistent in prayer. Don't give up in a time of trouble. This is what Paul says. But commune with God at all times. Don't give up in times of tribulation. Don't give up in times of sickness where your body feels like, man, I just want to leave this body. Do you know you can get so sick that you feel like it's time to go? I remember I was talking to my mom. She was so sick at some point. And she would say, Mike, you know, when I was at home, I told my young sister and I said to her, what's the point? The pain is too much. Lord, you might as well take me and I'm going to go be buried next to my husband. That is the talk of somebody who was going through so much pain. But here Paul says here, don't give up in time of trouble, but commune with God all the time. The Bible says the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We need to be consistent in prayer. Even if it's one word, be persistent in that one word. It doesn't matter. Keep on praying because the one you are praying to has got ears. He is not like an idol that has no ears that cannot hear. He hears the prayers of his people. The Bible says his ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. So when we call upon the name of Jesus, it's a matter of time before he answers. He is never late. He is never late. He is always on time. And I'll encourage you today that if you want to be an overcomer, be disciplined in the spirit. Be a person of discipline. I don't know what has touched you this morning, which habit you know you need to deal with. I want you to come before your Father. and talk to him? Is it an issue of the way you view yourself? Is it an issue of love, where love has grown cold? And you're saying, Lord, help me. I want to love again. Maybe you've been disappointed so many times that you just want to have nothing to do with people. You're like, you know what? Just leave me alone. God is a good God. Maybe it's an issue of spiritual discipline, where you know, I used to spend time in prayer. I used to fast once a week. I would take a day out and I would fast. Even if there is nothing to fast about, I will just fast, just to be in the presence of Jehovah. Come on now. Maybe you used to pray for the church. You used to be so passionate and say, Lord, what is on your heart for the church in this season? And the Lord would speak to you. Maybe that area has died out. But today the Lord is saying to you, remember the place where you have fallen from. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the heights from which you have fallen from. But today, if you are willing, you can regain that which you lost. In the name of Jesus. Father of glory, just talk to your Father right now. Lord, I just pray. You have called us to be overcomers. You have called us to be more than conquerors. You have called us to be above and not beneath. Lord, we pray this morning that by your Spirit, Lord, you would bring a revival in each and every one of us right now. Revive us, oh God. Awaken things inside of us. Lord, we pray for a passion for you. We pray that we would burn for you again. Father, in the name of Jesus, some of us have lost a passion to reach the lost for Jesus. I pray this morning, awaken that burden for the lost. Lord, we pray, oh God, that would carry your burden. I pray that would carry your burden, Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you that we are more than conquerors. We thank you that you fight our battles and help us to create an environment that you can come and inhabit. We give you glory and give you praise in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. I trust the Lord has spoken to us this morning. I want us to think about this, meditate on it, and the Lord will continue ministering to you.